Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And welcome to another edition of New Retirement Radio, starring Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner from Prout Financial Design, and Shay Pataja, CXO from Prout Financial Design in Traverse City.
Hello, hello. Check, hello, check, check, one, check,
check, check, check. Hello.
It's great to be here. Thank you. On a Thursday morning, 9/6/18, it's a pleasure to be in. Thank you for all of you listeners. And for the many who are coming to see us, too, we've seen a lot of folks here in the last couple of months.
Busy.
Wondering what to do about retirement. It's been fantastic, and we have a lot to talk about today. We're talking about education funding. It's getting to be fall. You see the children wending their way back to work. Kind of the people have moved out of the area. All the children are in class.
You can find a parking spot on Front Street once in a while.
And the deer are becoming suspicious. You know, they're more cautious. I think they sense what's coming up here in November. Yes.
The 95-degree weather really helped, too, this week to ring in that fall feeling.
Schizophrenia right there.
And hockey is coming back to Traverse City. Yahey!
It is. Oh, my gosh. The next 2 weeks, ice up and at them. Huge, huh?
Hockey town.
Hockey town, baby.
Yahey.
It's fun.
The rhythm of the seasons.
Yes. So education funding. We brought it up as almost an aside a couple of weeks ago. We're surprised at the questions.
Lots of questions.
Based on old information. An article that we looked at pulled up this morning on 529 plans. Old information. Mm. But Heidi back
she
at the
always
office
comes
had some great stats. On the beginning, what many don't even know what a 529 plan is. So we thought, you know, let's back up a bit.
Heidi found CNBC. It says only 29% of Americans even know about 529 plans. So I thought that was interesting. In 2017, the average account size jumped to a record high of $24,057, up 13% from the year earlier. And that's according to the College Savings Plans Network. Total investments in 529s also reach a record $319 billion last year. That's 16% higher than 2016. So we're going to talk about why would you do a 529 plan over the Roth IRA, vice versa. What's the benefits, the pros, the cons? It's really interesting.
I think it is. You bet. Because the bottom line is, are you saving for retirement? Well, yes. Aren't most? Or are you saving for education? Generally, most financial advisors, including myself, would tell you to count your own retirement savings most important for savings. The Roth IRA can serve two masters, the one being education funding, if you so desire, or your own distant retirement, if you're as young as Shay.
Okay? So if you change your mind,
yes,
you're like, I don't think I want to help Johnny. Johnny's not really... Yeah. Turning out to be as productive as we had hoped.
Or Johnny got himself a scholarship.
On the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gee, Shay, yeah.
I know kind of family
negative.
You're from.
Come on.
No, jeez.
All right, I'll start looking on the bright side for this show. then you can use your Roth IRA for you.
Yes. Leave it right there to grow tax-free until retirement. Tax-free. Tax and penalty-free for retirement. Now, what's interesting about the Roth, number one, it's not deductible when you put it in. You can't take that expense of having invested in the Roth as a tax deduction, all right? But the principal as well as the interest grows on a tax-free basis as long as it's held to retirement. Now, the catch is this. If you use it for education funding, the principal that you put in, $5,500, $10,000, whatever you had invested in that Roth, can be fully taken out without penalty or tax at any point in time, including for the use of education funding. So for yourself, me, myself, or on this side, see, we're on this side, or for the education of Charlie, who is now only 14, but is a prodigy. And so we want to help him in parochial school.
Mm.
Okay.
You could use it for not just college, but private school.
Yes. As well as now the 529 plan. They're both allowed beyond higher education for private schooling.
Did you say, though, you pull out the principal tax-free from your Roth for education? Is the interest taxable?
The interest is taxable, but not penalized if used for education funding. And that was the call from Bel Air we got a couple of weeks ago. Well, how is the Roth? I didn't know that would avoid the 10% penalty if used for education funding. Either the IRA or the Roth is available. Well, Dennis, you didn't say we were going to talk about the traditional IRA. I know. I'm always throwing curveballs. But it's interesting. Depending on what you own, they each have their positives and negatives. Well, you know, what's the bottom line? Save. That's the bottom line.
Save.
But you're saying that the Roth IRA or the 529 plan, it's better to save there than in your savings account or using different retirement accounts.
Generally, yes. The Roth and the 529 are the two best ways to have saved for a college education, if that's what it's going to be used for.
Was the 529 set up for that purpose?
It was.
Okay.
Now, what's interesting about the 529 plan is all the gains, and including the principal, all of it is not taxable when withdrawn and used for education purposes. Okay.
Also, the 529, so I set one up for my niece when she was born.
Yes.
And so the 529, anyone in my family can contribute to, anyone can contribute to it.
Yes, and that's a great point. So you're going to, because it's not just for you, it's for the child, as it were, you're going to tend to get other contributors to that account, your mother.
Honey, I do remind the family.
I wanted to help sweet granddaughter with her college education.
I did text
Well, yes, mother, though. I do have this 529 plan. I'm just picturing an actual conversation, all right?
It wasn't that sweet. It went more like, hey, everybody, how about you
get
contribute
to
her 529 plan before she figures out what gifts are? That was my...
I like both. Sand toys and a 529
plan. And a 529 plan. You can have both. So, but her parents, my brother and sister-in-law, they could set up a Roth IRA because they're the only ones who can contribute to that, correct?
Well, to their own Roth IRA.
To their own Roth
account.
IRA.
Now,
it's less inclusive.
If your niece actually had gone out and gotten a job and earned income, then... You know, either of you could fund for her Roth IRA.
Sure.
Isn't that right? She is a bit young to get a job. I get it. Hand in the audience. Yes, sir.
I have a question.
Yes.
For the gentleman from Traverse City. So if I can open up a 529, put money in it for a child's education.
Yes.
And anybody can throw money in there.
They can.
And when I pulled out, the principal and the interest are not taxable.
As long as used for education purposes.
As long as used for education.
Tuition, books, expenses, fees, even the computer.
Then why would I want to use my Roth IRA for education if the interest is taxed? And not everybody can throw money down into the Roth.
Because of FAFSA.
All the
federal
financial
funding
aid forms.
Financial aid forms. So those always come into play. The 529 plan is included on the FAFSA form as an asset.
As an asset.
As the parents' partial funding. Up to 50% of that is included.
Uh-huh.
Now, what's interesting is the Roth is not included in the FAFSA.
There
but
the
negative side is whatever you draw out of the Roth for that child education is counted on that parent's income. So that for the FAFSA form. So if If you want to do a comparison, it is available online through the FAFSA organization, which is a government entity.
So as long as the money's in the Roth, you don't count it as an asset. The minute you spend it on education, whatever you spend,
that
it becomes an asset.
Income is counted on the FAFSA form.
Got it.
So they each have their positives and negatives, mm-hmm. and that's why I say the saving itself is the most important. Well, what are we going to get from having done the FAFSA form? Is it $3,000? You know, which is worth more, having saved for the child's education or getting more benefits out of the federal government?
Also, question. So if you're, say your child doesn't go to school, they don't do trade school, they just right away, say they become entrepreneurs. They're like, I got this business idea, I'm going to do it right out of high school, it's going to be great. Can you take money out of your Roth, the principal, and gift it to the child for that business without getting penalized?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Mm. So in essence, because they didn't use it for the education and you want to simply gift them mm-hmm. $5,000 because they didn't use that and you know, obviously you've thought through that,
mm-hmm.
absolutely you could. Now, obviously, the other side too, you're taking it out of your own retirement account, but you are helping that.
It's your way to contribute person. If they've decided not to do college.
Yes.
Okay. See, so you've got to figure out what works for you.
Now, what's interesting is the 529 plan is available too. Because in essence, when you set that up, in essence, you set that up as the owner of the account. The grandchild in this case, or the niece, is the beneficiary of that account. As the owner, you have complete control of that 529 plan to take that money out anytime you like.
With a penalty.
Correct. With a penalty on the interest of 10% and income tax on that interest.
Okay.
But the principal comes out free again, but they come out together for tax purposes.
Got it.
So it's really quite a wending trail, if you will.
Of course.
But it's each has its positives and negatives. That's why I made the comment in the beginning, having saved in the first place is a big part of the deal. So the positives of saving using the Roth, it's not deductible in, but it does grow tax-free within limitations. Availability of the contributions or the principal, anytime, any reason, no penalty, no tax. The contribution is limited, however, up to $5,500 per year under age 50, 50 and above, $6,500. Now, there are income limitations for those who would want to contribute as well, taxable income limitations. Number four, penalty-free college, as we discussed. That's pretty standard. Flexibility on the Roth is to investment. Much more flexibility in terms of types of investments that you can make to the Roth versus the 529 mm-hmm. plans. 529 plans, much more limited in their investment choices, in spite of the fact that there's, what did you say, 350-some-odd billion? Billion with a B
billion.
In 529 plans. Yes. Financial aid packages, there may be issues with that, with either option. Not counted before the fact on the Roth from FAFSA, counted after the fact is income, which may wind up being more negative for that particular child who is needing the funding for that education.
Hmm.
In the negative side, the cons of using the Roth for college. Number one is you're sacrificing your own retirement. You're taking some of your own retirement funds. Unless you were planning mm-hmm. on that. That's an adjunct to the rest of it. And then the financial aid side of it as well can be an issue. Now, the nice thing, the pros of the 529 plan is it's specific to the college education expense and if you so desire, let's say your brother and sister-in-law mm-hmm. decide to have, I don't know, eight children or the, you know,
mm-hmm.
instead of just one or two. Well, you could progressively move that 529 plan for each successive child, depending on their need, to help fund their education.
Oh.
So you don't have to limit it to just one.
Oh.
Or you can say, I want to give to each one so that they understand the value that they place on them. You see where that can go. Mm-hmm. All kinds of different 529 accounts. You can do that somewhat with a Roth, but it's somewhat limited.
So you're
as well.
Saying when the second baby comes this fall, they're having another girl.
Yes.
I can just use the same 529 plan and not open up a new account?
You could, in essence, yes.
Okay.
Just knowing and probably communicating mm-hmm. with your brother and sister-in-law that my intention is to help fund them both, and we'll switch it when the one needs it versus the other and so forth.
Oh, okay. Very interesting.
Very flexible that way mm-hmm. in terms of doing that. And keeping in mind at all times, you have complete access to those funds if the worst happens.
What happens if Shay and her relatives have a complete family breakdown blowout, not talking to each other for the rest of their lives? Shay says, it's my money in there, I'm going to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Can she take it out and use it for her own purposes and not put it into education?
She could.
Penalized?
Yes.
Yes,
she'd be penalized. Albeit penalized taxes and the 10% penalty on the gain.
Okay.
So you put in $5,000, it's worth $10,000. Well, mm-hmm. there's a 10% penalty in the $5,000 that grew,
uh-huh.
as well as income tax. Okay?
Okay.
At well, your income tax bracket.
Yeah, who's going to the dark side now, Ron?
Right.
Shay's not talking to her nieces ever. It's nope. over.
That is crazy.
My plan is to be the cool aunt. Okay. That's the plan.
Well, yeah, and 529s are cool.
Way cool. They just don't know it yet.
It's amazing how much control you as the grantor in that particular account, and that's what it's referred to, have, the amount of control you have and the amount of generosity that you can help assist with.
Well, I know someone else that opened for her nieces a Roth account, and it was just one, I believe, just one Roth account, and she put money in it for all of them. And then when they turn 16, she takes them on a one-on-one trip anywhere they want to go, like in the world. So,
but Shay opened the account. Anybody can put money into it, but she's the grantor. She controls it
in
this example that we're using?
In this particular example.
Okay.
That is correct.
So you can play them off one another. Be nice to Aunt Shay or else.
Yeah, a little, little competition never hurt anybody.
Yes. So it's... It's interesting in terms of, well, what do I have available to me? I had a conversation a couple of days ago with a couple, and I mentioned to them, you know, savings bonds can be a great thing to use for college education as long as you're within certain income limitations or income limits yourself. You can use those savings bonds for college education, and the income or the gain on that bond is not taxable.
What if you were given a savings bond and you don't know where it's at? Or like, I
had a nephew that moved out west, and his mother mailed him all the savings bonds, and a certain government program lost them.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Lost in the mail.
Wow.
Uh-oh. Yeah. So if you lose or misplace or...
Yeah.
And I don't want to beat up on the PO. I mean, they do a great job every day, but that's just the facts of the story. They were lost. So,
yes.
Yeah, what happens?
Well, I honestly don't know the answer to that. I've never had that posed. But the first thing I think of is go to savingsbonds.gov, .gov, and ask them. I'm sure that question's been asked before. I've lost my savings bond and don't know where to find it.
How are those a good option for college saving?
Because all the gain, the interest, and the interest can be significant, fully taxable to you when you take it out. All right? It's grown tax deferred in the process of, you know, over the 80 years that you've owned that bond. Being facetious, there are up to 40 years you can own them. But let's say the accrued interest is $800 on that savings bond. And it's almost near its maturity. You say, well, I do have a grandson or a nephew or a niece that I could use that money for to help with their college education, and all that gain would not be taxable. Within certain income limits, it would not be, yes. So check with either your financial advisor or your accountant regarding the amount of income you can have before that income is taxable. Okay.
Another thought, if you are worried about the family dynamics, if you had a 529 plan and everyone's contributing, if there's a family split,
you get all the money.
Yeah, that gets a little bit sticky. So maybe that's another reason for the independent types to like the Roth IRA.
Right.
But I did ask you, what's the most you can give to education out of the Roth versus the 529 plan? Mm-hmm. And the 529 plan was a lot higher.
It's a lot higher. Under a one-time provision, you can give up to $75,000 per individual to a 529 plan. It's a five-year amount times the $15,000 new gift tax limitation, okay?
And then Roth is?
The Roth is $5,500 if you're under the age of 50, or $6,500 per year if you're 50 or older.
Well, that's a little bit less.
It is. So if you're wanting to catch up, you see where there can be some really significant advantages there to the 529 plan in helping Johnny, Susie, or Sally, or Amos Moses, if you will.
Amos Moses.
See, these children are all coming up with these new names that we've been around a very long time. It seems like I hear older and older names being used for these grandkids these days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of interesting.
Some biblical names are making a comeback.
Oh, yeah. Like Zephaniah.
Well,
it's been huge. 3 to 4 children now.
Yeah. Speaking of which, everyone's posting their pictures of everyone back to school on Facebook this week and Instagram.
Yes.
So a child born in 2017 that begins kindergarten in the fall of 2022, that's crazy to even say out loud, by the way, would attend college between the years of 2035 and 2039. If that child attended an average public in-state four-year college, and if the annual price increases for public colleges experienced over the last 30 years, that's 5.4% per year, continued the future, the four-year cost of a child's college education, that includes tuition, fees, room and board, would be $235,265 or $58,816 a year. So
that's not as high as I thought it would be for 2035.
In 2018, the average school public college was $20,770.
Okay. More than doubled. Okay, that's pretty high.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just bizarre to think about. So my niece who's born,
But that may change. So many things can change.
So many things can change.
That's right. Well, that's what I think we're all hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
The advent of good old-fashioned competition and more realism in terms of the cost.
Isn't it weird that there aren't, like, college? When's the last time you heard of a college opening? Somebody said, I'll start a college.
That's funny. I never think of that.
I haven't either.
I mean, I see colleges rebranding all the time.
Yeah.
We're going to rebrand. We're going to rename.
Like the last guy that started college was Tom Monahan, started Ave Maria down in his town of Ave Maria, Florida. Started a college and a law school, but
incredible,
not cheap.
But why go to school? Here's another Shea stat.
Okay,
the unemployment rate in July of 2018 for Americans with at least a bachelor's degree was just 2.2%. The unemployment rate in July 2018 for Americans who stopped their education after graduating from high school was 4%.
So, if you don't want to work, don't go to college. Moral of the story.
There's more stats on that, there's a lot less jobs that require a college degree, but that doesn't mean that they're available. So
we
have another stat. 44 million Americans owe $1.4 trillion in student loan debt as of last July. That's a 139% increase in just the last 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so, some would say that debt has been much too easy for those who are participating in college to get, and that it's helped drive up the price that stratospherically as well.
Mm. Currently, outstanding auto loans at $1.23 trillion, are less than outstanding student loans. So that's crazy also. But the millennials, they are saying millennials they're not buying cars.
Nope.
They're paying for college.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Uber.
So there's some more stats for you. Where do you want to go?
So thinking about this much earlier in terms of the benefits of compounding and diversification can be significant in terms, and not just for yourself and having saved and try to help that child or grandchild, but also for them too in their own education, which we've seen again and again in our own family. The children getting an idea of what these mutual funds do, how they work, even seeing the statements really helps bring them into that phase of basic economics and saving, the fundamentals of it, using mutual funds, that sort of thing, and how these might help them.
Yeah,
I can take a withdrawal out of this account to help this semester, for instance, even if it helps for a couple of years, having those goals set up. How much is the child going to come up with? How much are you going to come up with? And what is the goal of how much are we going to try to save each year for that child's college education? Could be fantastic stuff.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's PROUT financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes.